Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Go. Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU Athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
We're put together a defense that puts us in a position to win the SEC.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
All those things are going to be there, which are important.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Helm Paint and Decorating. The paint experts of Louisiana. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Max Home. And the East Baton Rouge Parish Library. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Jackson Blackman and hosts Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Two players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of Louisiana Radio Network, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. We're inside the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, along with our great producer, Jackson Blackman. Since Glenn Gilbo's going into the Hall of Fame, he just big-timed us tonight. You know,
he acts like it's okay for him to miss flights and things.
Yeah.
Like, actually, it's not his fault at all.
Traveling commercially is not fun.
What's going? Yeah, but I mean, it's like worse lately than it's ever been. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on. But
Omaha sometimes not an easy place to get home from, and so Glenn is finding that out. Unfortunately, today. But
I booked his tickets, so I'm getting all the emails.
Oh man,
there were 7 delays today.
Wow. And he's still there. No, well, he's supposed.
He's actually in the air, I think, right now.
All right. He might be listening to us.
I doubt it.
Probably not. Well, a great show lined up here later on tonight. We're going to talk with Jay Johnson and Nate Yeske. We're going to go back to back. It's like Kate Anderson and Anthony Ianson, right? It's a 1-2
punch.
Later on in the hour, Glenn West will also join us from 247 Sports. But let's get to our first guest of the night. He joins us on the Max Home Hotline. He's a national champion himself, also a 2-time World Series champion. Ryan Terriel joins us on the Max Home Hotline. Ryan, thanks a lot for spending some time with us on Tiger Rag Radio. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jeff. Jackson, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Yeah, it's great to have you on. First question for you. What impresses you the most, or what has impressed you the most about this 2025 team, and maybe some characteristics of this team that maybe stick out more so than the 7 previous champions?
I mean, I think first and foremost, it was talked about quite a bit during the broadcast and been a point of discussion throughout the season is the defense and how well these guys caught the ball. Jay Johnson is an infield guy. He's a defensive guy. It's one of his main focuses, and he's a middle infielder when he was playing. And so, man, they caught the balls they were supposed to catch. They made some amazing plays as well. The Tiger teams of the past, man, it was the 2- and 3-run homer that, the gorilla ball that everybody was talking about. These guys didn't give away free passes and they caught the baseball.
Hey, Ryan, this is Todd Horn. Were there any characteristics that you specifically related to within the makeup and the character of this team as it related to you guys in 2000?
Todd, I've spent a lot of time with a couple of these fellas and was able to get to know them on a personal level. And I think that, the big moments that Stephen Milam had and has had throughout the course of his career thus far, extremely relatable, not only to myself, but also Tigers of the past that have been on championship teams. It was never too big for him, and not just him. I mean, there were multiple guys. Obviously, Jared Jones had some huge hits, and Hernandez had some huge hits. I mean, but Milam in particular, I actually made this comment to Bill Daly, one of my former coaches, earlier today when we were talking about the games and the season. I said, he could have played with us. He could have played on one of our teams. Just the way he approaches the game and his intensity and you know, he just always looks pissed off, which I love. You know, he's never smiling and celebrating. He's you know, he wants to eat your face off. And so I'm like, man, this, yeah, he can play with me.
Do you think, especially against Arkansas, where they had Golden Boy Vahiavaloa, I can't even say his name, but I think you know who I'm talking about. Their shortstop, who actually won the Golden Spikes Award, and he was actually very good. But do you think Milam had a little chip on his shoulder going head-to-head against him, especially in the World Series?
No, I don't think he likes anybody. I mean, I don't think it was personal. I mean, as a matter of fact, I know he doesn't. You know, it didn't have anything to do with him. You know, look, I remember when UCLA came to Baton Rouge for the regional super, I think it was my sophomore year when we won the World Series, and they had a guy by the name of Chase Utley, who's not a bad ball player.
Right.
And Chase, you know, had a pretty bad few games, you know, and we had a guy by the name of Mike Fontenot who had a couple of really good games, you know. And so I just putting on that uniform, you know, playing for the letters on the front rather than the ones on the back is pretty cliche statement. I get it. But man, there's just something different about the atmosphere and the culture. And, you know, when that game starts, you know, it's, you're playing for something more than yourself, and not taking anything away from the kid from Arkansas. I think he's a spectacular player. He's going to have a wonderful big league career. No doubt about it. But in a fist fight, I'm taking Milam all day long.
Even though he's probably about 5 inches shorter or more?
Yeah, he's winning that one, buddy. I promise you.
Well, you know, while we're talking about Arkansas and Aloy, and since you were a shortstop and you know how to play the position, and you talked about how good LSU's defense was, Arkansas's defense was actually had performed slightly better than LSU in terms of statistically all season long. And so it was kind of surprising to see him make that play in the ninth inning where he could have turned it looked like a pretty easy double play against Milam and instead went to third. What did you think when you saw that?
You know, the most important part of turning a double play is the first step. It's the first action toward the baseball. You're having to catch it, throw it to one base, and redirect it to another base. And so everything is sped up a bit on a double play. I know I'm stating the obvious. But he did it earlier in the game where he kind of sat back on one, and I think Pearson ended up beating it out on a double play ball. And that was the exact same situation where his first step wasn't aggressive to the ball. And at that point, you know, now your rhythm's thrown off. Okay, and so whether he turned it or not, now obviously I think he probably would have. Milam is not the fastest. But you couple that with the base runner flashing right in front of you, it can create some confusion there. And late in the ball game, what you're doing is counting down outs. At that point, I think Arkansas needed 8 more outs to win that game. And so you're just counting down outs. And so he's just trying to get an out. And he did, you know, fortunately for us, you know, we ended up winning the game because of that. But, you know, Daniel Dickinson did the same thing an inning before that, where he had the opportunity to turn a double play. And instead of doing it the proper way, he just said, let me just get an out. And I don't know if you guys remember, it was the most awkward feed to second base I've ever seen in my life. But that was because it, you know, he wasn't concerned about turning a double play. He just wanted to get an out. And, you know, it didn't hurt LSU, but boy, it really hurt Arkansas.
Yeah, it certainly did. What did you make out of what happened in the first inning of the second game of the championship series, Ryan, with Coastal Carolina's coach getting ejected? Mm-hmm. What did you see out of that? I'm sure you've been witnesses. Heck, you've played for Lou Piniella, so you get an idea of what it's like to see a head coach or manager get fired. So give us a take on what you saw there.
Get fired or get kicked out?
Get kicked out, yeah.
Yeah, same. It's the same thing. Listen, Lou is, you know, notorious, right? And I'm glad you referenced Lou. Lou also knew when to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
You know? And he also understood the situation and when you can do things and when you can't. And I get it. There's part of of this argument says, well, the umpire's got to know the situation and understand it's a national championship game and it's the first inning and you just can't throw a guy out there or throw a guy out in that situation. And I totally disagree. And you know, I know it's probably not popular, but the coach just has to know better. He can't put himself in a position to where he might get ejected. And this is coming from a guy that's been ejected a lot. Like, I've done that before, you know. But in the first inning of the national championship game, when you're outmanned already and your team needs you, you have to display some restraint. You have to understand the situation. And going back and watching the video, he had every opportunity in the world to turn around and walk back to the dugout. But instead, he poked his chest out and aggressively made motions toward the umpire. Well, look, that umpire is a human being. Oh, and by the way, he's the authority on that field. You can't do that. There's ways to argue. There's ways to get your point across without putting yourself in danger of being ejected. And he didn't do that. And look, what got me the most was the next day when I watched his press conference, just the arrogance, you know, blaming it on somebody else. No, dude, own it.
Own it.
Now, I don't think your team would have won anyway. But the proper thing is to say, you know what? I screwed up. I got to be better. I have to show a better example for my kids. I have to show restraint. Yeah, the umpire, I didn't understand or didn't agree with his calls. And, you know, but I got to be better. Nobody's perfect. And look, guys, I don't even think the balls and strikes were that bad. I'm going to be honest with you. One of them was maybe borderline, but it's the first inning.
Yeah.
Your guy might get that call too.
Right. Well, and Ryan, it's interesting you bring up, you know, that he should have held him, showed some restraint, considered his players, because the day before when Dickinson had that controversial reviewed hit by pitch that was against LSU, and Jay was a little upset about it, almost stepped out of the dugout, was told to go back in because you can't argue against a reviewed call. And he just collected his thoughts and considered his team and acted responsibly, and everything was fine. So it is a stark contrast. But I have another question.
No doubt.
I have another question. You mentioned Bill Daly earlier, your coach. If I'm not mistaken, he was your third base coach in the Stanford game whenever you scored the winning run. When you scored that run in the 2000 World Series against Stanford, and I know you've talked about this before. I know it's in Glenn Gilbo's book on Skip Bertman. You threw your helmet up in the air, mimicking almost exactly the same. I think it was Armando Rios who had done it before.
It was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Jones in the walk-off against Arkansas did the same thing that Tommy White did against Wake Forest, giving the airplane motion going down first base. Do you think he was doing that consciously or subconsciously? And did you do it consciously or subconsciously?
Mine was 1,000,000% subconsciously. Like that was, you know, that just happened. And at LSU, we are blessed. I'm talking, I cannot overstate this. We are blessed with video of former Tiger greats doing really cool stuff. And Skip Bertman and Jay Johnson have the wherewithal and the smarts to know that showing those videos to current players is going to reinforce some positive thoughts. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm almost certain that Jared Jones has seen that in person, but also on video of Tommy White rounding third base, you know, on the walk-off. Mm-hmm. And just like I saw Armando hundreds of times, you know, Skip would make us watch these videos and visualize success. And knowing how close Jay and Skip are, I know he's taking a page out of Skip's book and just reinforcing that success and showing victory and showing, you know, and it just happens, man. I can't speak for Jones, whether it was conscious or subconscious, but I can tell you for me, I'd seen that clip so much. It just, man, it just happened.
It just happened. So true or false, Ryan, Jay Johnson is the best possible coach to take over the dynasty that Skip Bertman started when you were there.
I think, I think before it's all said and done, Jay's going to win as many or more championships than Skip. I do.
That's a bold statement.
I think he's the best coach in the country by far. I think this core group that he has right now, when I say core, you know, you've got some freshmen that are really, really, really good. You've got some juniors coming back next year. Maybe we can convince a few of the older guys to stay one more year. We'll see what that NIL looks like. So I need to get all my rich friends to tap in and get these boys back. I don't know how much time y'all have spent with him, but I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time with him. We are very, very, very fortunate to have Jay Johnson here in Baton Rouge. And, you know, not only for what we just saw from a championship standpoint and bringing victories back here, but the kids that he's producing and putting out there are wonderful human beings. Just a lot of, it's very similar to what Skip was throwing out there. You know, and he represents Baton Rouge and Louisiana and LSU the way that you want a leader to represent, you know, your state. And I think we're just really fortunate to have him.
Last question here for you, Ryan, a little bit outside of baseball, outside the box. I know you're a busy guy. You got terrific daughters who are great athletes, but you got another thing added to your agenda here. You've been named to the LSU Presidential Selection Committee.
You're damn right.
how excited are you about that? How did you get involved in that? And what are we looking for as far as a new president at LSU?
Well, I'm going to try to get Trump. We'll see what happens. But, I'm shooting for the stars, boys. I told them that. I said, listen, y'all bring the riot onto this thing now. We're not settling. We're going to get the big one now. But look, I'm just to have the honor to serve on that committee is awesome. I've been going to games and going to that university and wearing the purple and gold literally my entire life, and was fortunate enough to be able to continue my education there and also, you know, win a championship for Baton Rouge. I have two children that are going to be there and a third, you know, in 2 years. To be a part of this search, not only, you know, on the athletic side, but to help shape this university, you know, both academically as well as athletically is a true honor. The room of individuals that I'll be sitting in, you know, is just, I'm blown away. And I can tell you, I'm going to soak it up and I'm going to just shut my mouth and I'm going to listen and learn, you know, and hopefully it's a catapult of other things to come. But I'm excited about the process and going to do the very best I can for the university and we'll get the best person for the job.
Well said. Hey, Ryan, let's do this again in the future here. I know you're a busy man. Thanks a lot. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your summer. I love watching your daughters play soccer and run track and all that kind of stuff. They're terrific athletes. So it's great to talk with you, and good luck with the search for a new president. And if you need Trump's number, I think Glenn Gilbo has it.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Right, thanks, Ryan.
All right. The Riot, Ryan Terriel, joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. We went way long with him, but it was well worth it. So let's take a break and come back. This is Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Welcome to the Chevy Lightning Round. Guess the clues to win. First team, you're up.
Powerful, commanding, unstoppable.
Silverado.
Adventurous, fun, techie.
Trailblazer.
Stylish, nimble.
Trax.
Innovative, electric.
Blazer EV.
Lightning Round champions. You've guessed all the right Chevy clues.
Wherever the year takes you, explore it together in the Chevy of your choice. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked fork tender brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this summer. Beef is packed with protein, and with 29 cuts of lean beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and all summer long, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of beef. So remember, beef. It's What's for Dinner, brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
All right, we only got a couple minutes in this next segment, and then it's back to the phone lines on the Max Home Hotline. LSU baseball coach, two-time national champion Coach Jay Johnson will join us here on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo and Todd Horn with you here for this show. Glenn Gilbo still trying to find his way back from Omaha to Baton Rouge. But, Todd, since we had Ryan Terrio on in the opening segment, we never got a chance to give our reflections of the championship, the College World Series. If you could, I guess in a minute or so, kind of give me your thoughts on this team winning a second championship in 3 years.
Well, I would say go to YouTube, pull up the preview podcast, and it happened exactly the way I said it was going to happen.
Did you have them beating Coastal Carolina?
I had them.
You had them beating Arizona.
Well, I'm talking about the finals one that we did. No, yeah, but the finals when we did, I said they were going to win it 2-0, and I said it was going to be because of pitching, and you know, I also said in the earlier podcast that LSU wasn't going to score 6 runs a game. You also said they weren't going to score 6 runs a game. 6 runs a game was their magic number during the season, where they were 41-1.
Right.
When they scored 6 runs or more, they didn't average nearly 6 runs a game. Yet they are the champions and by far the best team, I think, in the country this year. And that's another question I want to ask Jay. Does he think they were the best team, or does he think they were the team playing the best, which is always a narrative in the World Series?
I think what was so impressive, and maybe this could be the first question we get to ask Jay, and we only got a short amount of time, how fast this team came together. And he's alluded to it several times in the post-game press conferences during the tournament that they had, following the 2024 season, just 12 players coming back.
Right.
And to put this – and that was one of my concerns going into the year, is how does this team find a togetherness so quickly? And they were able to do that. I think a part of it is a lot of them have the same kind of makeup as far as – and mentality. They're just baseball nerds, for the lack of a better term, right? They just want to go out there and play baseball. And they all have that common bond, and I think that helped them become a cohesion group. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.
You work hard every day to pursue a life you love. You put in the time, and it shows. You're forging ahead, chasing a dream, creating something better for the ones you love. You're building your own life. So why not build your own tractor? With John Deere tractors and attachments for almost any need, the Sunshine Team can help you do just that. Check out our current promotions and learn more about what it means to be powered by sunshine at sunequip.com.
Welcome to the Chevy Lightning Round. Guess the clues to win. First team, you're up.
Powerful, commanding, unstoppable.
Silverado.
Adventurous, fun, techie.
Trailblazer.
Stylish, nimble.
Trax.
Innovative, electric.
Blazer EV.
Lightning Round champions. You've guessed all the right Chevy clues.
Wherever the year takes you, explore it together in the Chevy of your choice. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked fork tender brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this summer. Beef is packed with protein, and with 29 cuts of lean beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and all summer long, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of beef. So remember, beef. It's What's for Dinner, brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
You should call that radio station and let him have it.
Good idea.
1-800-673-5555.
I want to be under the bright lights. I want to be on the Broadway stage.
Tiger Rag Radio is on now.
All right, we're back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, that is Todd Horn. Glenn Gilbo, still trying to make his way back from Omaha, Nebraska. We are efforting LSU baseball coach Jay Johnson, but he's a busy man. A lot of Zoom calls. Not only has he got to wrap up as far as, I mean, there's just a lot to do right now. And so we're still hoping to get Jay. You know, if he's available, we'll certainly talk to him, but just a lot to do right now at the moment, Todd.
Yeah. And you know, we have Nate Yeske scheduled for the second half of this half hour.
Yeah.
And we may run into the same situation because they may be teaming up on calls.
And, right.
And they are, they're talking to players that they're targeting very selectively in the transfer portal right now. And we know for a fact that's what they're doing. And they fit us in very, very graciously. And hopefully we'll get to talk to him. But if not, you know, we will catch up with him another time. What I did want to talk to Jay about right now, in addition to getting his thoughts on you know, just winning so much so quickly, and his, you know, we've heard it. Everybody's heard what he thinks about how proud he is of the team.
No, keep going, Ty.
Yeah, how proud he is of the team. And I'm sure he would have talked a little bit about that, but I really wanted to talk to him about, is Ethan Frye going to come back? Does he, and not just a simple question, is Ethan Frye going to come back? Tell us. Because he probably doesn't even know right now. You know, Ethan Frye was a breakout player this year, obviously, designated hitter, but he's out of leverage ability. And what I mean by that is he's got to make a decision of whether to test the market for the draft, go to the draft, and he can't back out of it and come back and have something to hold over the heads in terms of negotiating power, because he doesn't have another year after that. So that's a big, big question. So the answer to that comes in is, how much more could they develop him by maybe putting him in the field, in either in the outfield or at first base, and could they compensate him enough NIL wise to make him do that and make it a strong play for him? And that's one of the things I wanted to ask him about.
All right, we do have Jay Johnson there joining us on the Max Home Hotline. Coach Johnson, thanks a lot for spending just a few minutes with us tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and I apologize for being a few minutes late.
I understand. A lot going on at this moment. So rapid-fire questions here, Coach, since we don't have you on for that very long. How did this team come together so quick? And I know that's not an easy question to answer in just a short amount of time, but I think that's what impresses me the most. You alluded to it several times, the fact that you only had 12 guys returning from the 2024 team. What was it? Was there a moment or something that you noticed, hey, this team's coming together a lot faster than I thought?
Yeah, well, the first off, of those 12 returning players, they were the right guys. Like, all of them provided baseball value for this team, and they were worthy of being players and frontline players at LSU. So I give them a lot of credit. I give them a lot of credit for using their experience from 2024 very well. That was the foundation, the starting point. I think we had an exceptional class of high school freshmen. Obviously, Derek, Kaysen were kind of the headliners, but a lot of those guys contributed. You know, Kate Arambidi was really good in the middle of the season when we started playing him in the Saturday games and SEC play. William Schmidt won 7 games as a freshman. We used John Pearson in big pinch hitting situations. Maverick Rizzi, I think, led our team in appearances. So that was a really special group. And Cooper Williams, obviously, huge outing in the Super Regional against West Virginia. So that group was really special. And then the transfer portal thing, man, like maybe they weren't quite as big a names, but we hit on the exact right fits for our team and the exact right people. I can't even quantify what those guys mean to me and our team this year. And all that collection of talent, they made a decision. They were going to place the needs of the team above their own and got after it every single day.
Jay, I know that you guys are, you know, it's only been 3 days and your big celebration is tomorrow night in Alex Box. And I'm sure you are all looking forward to that. But I also know that you've been very selectively working the transfer portal right now, and you're talking to the players that you've targeted and having Zoom calls with them, et cetera, and visits with them. But you've talked about you're going to be more selective with that transfer portal than you have in the past because you want certain players, specific players that would fit in and plug into the core that you already have. How important is it going to be to try and get somebody like an Ethan Frye back?
Well, first off, it's not just one of my favorite players. It's one of my favorite human beings I've ever coached. And he means a lot to me personally. I'm really proud of his development and persevering through not playing a lot as a freshman just because he was on such an exceptional team. And then last year, right when I was about to plug and say, hey, go big boy, you're the guy, he got hurt in that very game that we made a decision to do that. And so that limited his opportunities. And once we got him in there full time this year, he was a great player. I really would love to. I mean, Ethan can live in my house if he wants to come back next year, and I'll move into the apartments or dorms. Like that's how much I think of Ethan, and I'm proud of him. And we'll see what happens. I think he's a great player. Wouldn't surprise me if he went high in the draft, but if he doesn't, I would love to have him. I think he could win the Golden Spikes Award next year if he came back.
Are all of your starting pitchers probably for next year on the team currently?
I think they absolutely can be, for sure. We are, you know, obviously we need a little more depth than we have, but the foundation of what we have is really, really good. And it kind of reminds me of, after we won in 23, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, did contribute in Omaha, and it was a little different script this time because Cade basically took two games and crossed them off, and we only played five instead of eight. But when you think about Kaysen Evans, Cooper Williams, Maverick Rizzi, William Schmidt, that's four really good freshmen. You know, I'm hopeful, you know, that Gavin Guidry can become healthy again. I really like Zach Cowan. He's at draft eligible, but we'll see what happens. Jaden Newt, I'm really excited. Connor Ware, I think, you know, can get healthy and really be a positive contributor. DJ Primo. There's even guys like Grant Fontenot who didn't pitch in the postseason, but his last few outings were really good. Connor Benge. So there's a good core there, and I think if we add two or three guys, and we'll see what happens with our high school class and the draft. It's pretty talented, so – but there's a couple guys there too. So I think we have the makings of another really good pitching staff.
And it also looks like you're going to be pretty crowded in the outfield again next season, but you were able to handle it this year. I guess just what's your thoughts as you think about it right now? Cause I know you're already kind of thinking about 2026.
Yeah. Well, I think, a couple things, like, you know, the draft is the draft, and, you know, we'll see what happens relative to guys. I think Chris Stanfield is probably going to go pro. I think he's earned that opportunity by how he played this year. You know, I would draft Ethan Frye, but we'll see what happens with him. But, you know, you like your starting point with Derek Curiel, Jake Brown, Ashton Larson. You know, I haven't met with all the players yet, but, I mean, that's a great starting point for next year with those three.
Certainly is. Congratulations, Coach Johnson. You've made a lot of people in Baton Rouge and the state of Louisiana happy, and looks like LSU once again back at the top of the mountain here for college baseball, and a lot of people saying, hey, this is a new era, a new golden era of LSU baseball. So
you've rebooted the dynasty.
I said that's what we were going to try to do, and we're off to a pretty good start, I think. So we'll keep working at it.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot, Coach. We appreciate it. Have fun tomorrow night.
You guys have a good night.
All right, Nate Yeske when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now.
Call 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697. 800-319-6697.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio, our producer Jackson Blackman, you know. So what did you do today? I was trying to call LSU baseball coaches. Not an easy job to get a hold of them right away.
I'm telling you, they're hopping from Zoom call to Zoom call.
But some good stuff there from Jay Johnson, and we'll dive into it a little bit more coming up later on in the 7 o'clock hour when we got a free segment here. But I don't want to dive into it now in case we do get Nate Yeske to join us here. So maybe hold off on some of the thoughts that I have is based on some of the things. Heck, we had him on for 7 minutes, and a lot of people have been asking him about this team and this, and I know my opening question was about that, but it's hard not to, as someone that covers the team or fans out there, hey, they won it this year. Why can't they, you know, how does it look for next year, and how is it all going to fit again?
Well, and it's not our fault that the timing, the way it's set up, you know, when Jay was in Omaha this year, he was talking about the disadvantage it is to be in Omaha.
Yeah.
Because the other teams are actively pursuing players in the transfer portal.
Right.
And he talked about losing Ryan Snead to Tennessee in 2023 for that very reason.
Yeah, right.
So the good thing is Jay knows exactly who he wants to go after.
The holes are not as big as they were.
The foundation's a lot stronger.
And the same with 2024. But he's I don't mean to interrupt, but the thing that he hit on, I think, is so accurate about how this team came together is the guys that he got out of the transfer portal. I know not all of them panned out, but it was about as good as you can expect, right? Daniel Dickinson lived up to everything you wanted. Anthony Ianson, everything you wanted and more. Luis Hernandez, everything you wanted and more. Chris Stanfield was better than I think anybody thought was going to be. I mean, it just... I don't want to say again across the board, because the Dorsey kid from South Florida, I thought he was going to be an impact pitcher, and it just didn't turn out for him. But that was one guy. All these other guys, though, it just panned out, and it was amazing how it all came together. I mean, you go back to 2024, and these kids are college kids, so I'm not trying to throw them under the bus, but it is what it is. The fact that Paxton Kling couldn't be your everyday center fielder and bat leadoff, and the fact that Thatcher Hurd struggled as mightily as he did, it disrupted the whole season, because they spent all of 2024 trying to find a center fielder, trying to find a leadoff guy, and Thatcher Hurd left them with a big gaping hole in their weekend rotation. What if Anthony Ianson came here and struggled as mightily as Thatcher Hurd?
Well, and that's a risk, you know. Yeah. Kendall Rogers, who we've had on the show many times from D1 Baseball, was talking on their podcast earlier this week, and he was talking about how whenever D1Baseball.com ranked LSU like third or fourth in the preseason, and he actually had a conversation with Jay, and Jay's like, hey, maybe you got us a little too high there. I'm not sure how these guys are going to pan out, you know. But it, like you said, it did.
I mean, he hit he hit blackjack on a lot of these guys, man.
Yeah, and I didn't get to ask him what I wanted to ask him. I wanted to ask him, were they the best team in the country, or were they just the team playing the best in the College World Series?
What do you think of this? And I mean, I wrote about it too. I think, and we heard from Ryan Terrio, this is the relaunch of another golden era. I mean, Ryan Terrio made some pretty strong comments there about him potentially surpassing Skip Hurtman's five national championships.
I mean, this is not a political statement, but I hope Trump's not the president of LSU.
I didn't ask you about that. I asked you whether you think Jay Johnson's going to win more.
I do. I absolutely do. I do. I agree with Ryan in all seriousness. I agree with Ryan that he's got this program. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's a maniacal worker.
It's Nick Saban-esque.
Yeah. And in fact,
and we all saw what Saban did at Alabama.
Yeah, in fact, Glenn wrote an article last week while he was in Omaha, and I think we're going to run a version of it in the upcoming issue of Tiger Rag, which will be out next week, that covers the entire World Series, actually the entire NCAA tournament, starting at the super regional level.
Yeah.
Where he compared Jay Johnson to Nick Saban and Skip Bertman to Bear Bryant.
Yeah. Is that your phone? That's your phone. Is that Nate Yeske? Are you getting a call out of the bullpen?
It's not Nate. It's Ryan. No, I'm just kidding. Kick rocks.
Nah. Well, I think, and you know, and you were joking. Well, I don't think you were joking with me when you texted, because I had Jay lower on my ranking of SEC coaches. I had several of them up.
And well, this was an ongoing discussion back to last year. Actually, it was even two years ago, I think.
So, that 2023 team was so star-studded, and it was a lot of veteran guys. I am just so impressed on how this all came together and how he targeted these different guys out of the transfer portal. He was able to develop certain guys, like Chase Shores, just the how he developed during the course of the season. It worked out, and he's got Nate Yeske with him. And I can't argue when Jay Johnson says he's the best pitching coach in the country.
Yeah.
You go with a College World Series with four different programs, it's who else has that on their resume, as Jay would say?
And the fact that this was the first year that Jay had the same pitching coach for 2 years in a row here at LSU, I think that was a big factor. Not just that it was Nate Yeske, but just that he had the same one for 2 years, I think was big, too.
All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Welcome to the Chevy Lightning Round. Guess the clues to win. First team, you're up.
Powerful, commanding, unstoppable.
Silverado.
Adventurous, fun, techie.
Trailblazer.
Stylish, nimble.
Trax.
Innovative, electric.
Blazer EV.
Lightning Round Champions, you've guessed all the right Chevy clues.
Wherever the year takes you, explore it together in the Chevy of your choice. See your super Chevy dealers today.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked fork tender brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this summer. Beef is packed with protein, and with 29 cuts of lean beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and all summer long, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of beef. So remember, beef. It's What's for Dinner, brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
You work hard every day to pursue a life you love. You put in the time, and it shows. You're forging ahead, chasing a dream, creating something better for the ones you love. You're building your own life. So why not build your own tractor? With John Deere tractors and attachments for almost any need, the Sunshine Team can help you do just that. Check out our current promotions and
Learn more about what it means to be powered by sunshine at sunnyquip.com.
You should call that radio station and let him have it.
Good idea.
1-800-673-5555.
I want to be under the bright lights. I want to be on the Broadway stage.
Tiger Rag Radio is on now.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. Cade Anderson and the develop of him this season, really, and just another sign of why I think this has been such a masterful job in coaching and developing. You know, it's one thing to get the talent, right? But it's the other thing about developing them. You know, one of the big marks, I guess, during the Les Miles era for football, and I know it's sometimes hard when you're comparing baseball and football, was, boy, Les Miles would get these top five recruiting classes, but he can never develop them, especially at the quarterback position, correct?
Right.
But to see these guys develop, I mean, even a guy like Tanner Reeves, how shaky he was at third base, but by the end of the year, he had to make a couple of tough plays, even in that regional. You could tell he was a better player. Michael Braswell last year got off to such a rough start at shortstop and got better and was a really good defensive third baseman. And then figuring out, forget the platoon situation, I need Michael Braswell out there defensively. I mean, a lot of these decisions, and we sit here during the regular season and harp on these variety of things that happen and why they bunted in the fifth inning and all this kind of stuff. But in the big picture, when it came down to making all the right decisions and getting all the right guys in the right places, like Chase Shores being an electric reliever out of the bullpen, it all came together so beautifully.
Well, and yeah, I was thinking about a couple of things as you were talking. I was just remembering.
I know, I was just throwing a lot of stuff out there.
It's good because during the season, you know, one of our big concerns, and we talked about it, this team had a tendency to go into a slump, but they would cool off tremendously offensively. But, you know, they worked it out and they developed, and he taught them how to not just be disciplined hitters and take disciplined at bats that really tortured the pitching for the other team. And you had other coaches like Dave Van Horn. You had the Coastal Carolina coach, Schnall, saying that the LSU is just torturous to pitch against, and that's development, to your point.
Yeah.
That through the season, you can see it happening. The reason Dickinson was bunting so much lately was because he had a broken hammock.
Right.
Bone,
oh, yeah.
You know? And I don't know if anybody's ever had one of those. Obviously, that's the same
injury as Warren Morris.
Yes, Warren Morris had in 1996, and he couldn't hit all year long. That was his first hit of the season.
First home run.
Yeah, first home run of the season. But he had been bunting mostly before, and that's what Dickinson was doing since the Little Rock game where he hit two home runs. So that was the first game of the Little Rock series, the Baton Rouge Regional, that he broke that. That bone is extremely painful. The point is, this team had character and grit, and they did buy into not just Jay's commitment to LSU baseball, but they bought into their commitment to one another.
Yeah,
and doing what was best for the team, and you saw that, and that's how they were able to just be so resilient and come back time and time again. When they got knocked, you know, UCLA went up 1-0 in that game in Omaha, and they had been 33-1 in games where they had gone taking the lead at first. And LSU just treated it like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And they did that over and over and over again.
All right, we'll take a break. Hour number two of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios.